Hi, this is Victory Red, and you are listening to SLC Misfit Podcast. I apologize right up top. I'm not sure where my microphone went, so we're doing this, like, super not at all professionally, where I'm just speaking into my phone. Somewhere in my daughter and I kind of passing the equipment back and forth as she experimented with her own podcast. I have no idea where I put it. I recently moved and, well, okay, so it's been like 2 months, but I still am sort of unpacking. I have so much stuff. I mean, that's what happens, I guess, when you are a stage performer and costume designer and complete Halloween decoration hoarder. You know, you just go through the boxes kind of slowly and figure out where you're going to put everything. And, So, I'm sure I'll find the equipment somewhere. Completely unexpected. It might be in my freezer. I have no idea. Who knows? Who knows what I do anymore? So, this episode is going to be a little difficult, I think, for me. I have a lot on my mind, a lot that has been weighing pretty heavily on me the last couple of weeks, and I feel like every day I just get angrier and angrier, which hopefully can be a good thing, but at the same time, I almost feel more and more discouraged every day. Before I get too far into this, I will warn you, I guess, that my dog Porkchop is here, as always, keeping me company. He just had a bark off with one of my downstairs neighbor's dogs. It was kind of cute. Because neither one of them have very loud barks, but they were both trying really hard to outbark the other. Which is kind of how I feel the Senate was recently. you know, politically, brief history on my political beliefs, I guess. I never really aligned with one political party over another for most of my experience as a registered voter. Not until recent years have I swung much more one way than the other. Can I be bisexual in politics like I am in my orientation? I just honestly, there are issues that really, really matter to me, and if a candidate's ideology and track record, if they're currently established, if that aligns with mine, then I vote for them. Or at least that's how I was. I'm not one of those that, like, checks the box for, like, all Republican or all Democrat. I will go through each person individually, I go through each judge individually, I go through each proposition individually. I've tried to not be partisan in how I view my government, because I am not really partisan in how I view my life. However, in recent years, there is, you know, the last couple of times I voted, as I've looked through back, you know, over my ballot, I've noticed a trend. So, being raised in the Mormon church, and that's, or whatever they call themselves right now, I'm a little salty. I'm more than a little salty. I'm actually super angry with that organization at the moment. And I know last episode, you heard me talk a lot about how I'm not anti-Mormon. And today, maybe I will have to tell you that I don't like to be anti-people. So if someone decides that membership in the LDS church is what fits their spiritual needs, I am not anti that person. I hate actions, not people, I guess, is how I'm wired, with maybe a couple of exceptions. The last couple of weeks have been just a test of my love for humankind, I guess. My philosophy that we should try to communicate with each other and be kind. I'm not feeling kind right now. However, I don't extend that same philosophy of kindness to organizations. If I feel like an organization is standing up for something super shitty, then I'm going to call them out. And I, after hearing remarks from, you know, leaders at the very top of the Mormon Church over the weekend that are just truly ignorant and bigoted. You can dress it up any way you want, but to say that transgender people are confused, that's fucking ridiculous. And it's hate speech. And I'm sorry, but no, I'm not sorry. You know what? Fuck that guy. Fuck anybody who says that. Sit down and shut up. And if you can't live by your own religion's teachings, which is supposed to be, last time I was involved in it, to love God and love your neighbor, then if you can't do that, then what the fuck are you doing? Those are like the two basic foundations of what is supposed to be your church. So yeah, don't sit there and say that your marriage is better than everybody else's marriage because it's between a heterosexual, you know, couple. Fuck that. I'm done. You are now saying things that create more intolerance. And you know what? If your organization does that, you got to take responsibility for that. So I'm drawing my line in the sand here. I have many family members who are Mormon, and, you know, a lot of them are really good at extending love and acceptance. You know, that's going to have to be their conscience that they wrestle with as to how they reconcile the ideas of love everyone, oh, except not these people, because they don't do it the way I do it. Whew. And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna call them whatever name they want to be called if they're gonna refuse to, you know, call my transgender friends by their names, by their proper names. So shove it up your ass, church. Yeah, lots of anger this time. Which isn't to say that I feel like every Mormon shares that view. And I can certainly feel for, you know, having gone through that process myself a little bit, where you have a spiritual path that you feel is, you know, hitting the markers for what you need to get you through life. And to all of a sudden have, well, maybe not even all of this, all of a sudden, but, you know, have the church very openly and articulately express a view that to you feels wrong at your core. I've been through that and it sucks. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, here's how you should deal with that, because you got to process that on your own. That's your battle to fight, not mine. I've already done it. And I'm at peace with the decision that I made. And every single person is going to have to do that themselves. And I know that a lot of people that I love out there are struggling with this issue. And it's not an easy thing, particularly for a spiritual path or a religion that doesn't just shape, you know, kind of a philosophical view of the world, but it shapes your culture, shapes the way your family, you know, interacts. Mormonism kind of permeates every aspect of one's life, and it, there are some ideologies of that that are good, like, you know, being honest and being loving and accepting. But again, how do you reconcile those teachings with these new teachings that are the exact opposite? It's a shitty situation to be in. I've been there. I feel for you. But I feel worse for the people that heard that message yesterday and, or whenever it was, 2 days ago, and now feel like their lives are worthless. I feel worse for the people who are constantly battling bigotry every fucking day of their lives. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And this segues perfectly into the other thing that is unacceptable to me. And that is the Republican Party giving us all a big middle finger with this Brett Kavanaugh bullshit. This is not going to be an articulate podcast. I can tell you that right now. And I don't even know if this is going to be longer than like half an hour, because this is hard for me to talk about. It's brought up a lot of emotions and feelings that are always kind of in the back of my heart and mind anyway, but now they're at the forefront, and maybe worse than seeing, you know, the way Republican politicians and entitled rich white straight men, you know, whine and cry when they think they're losing just the smallest sliver of that entitlement. That has been just infuriating. But what's more disappointing is seeing people that I love and respect backing them up. So let's talk about one of my new heroes, who is Dr. Ford. And I listened to all of her testimony, and it rang true for me. 100%, I believe her completely. So much of what she said echoes experiences that I've had, that there was just no question. There was no question for me. And I don't know how many times I've had to parade out this statistic for people who just don't fucking get it. Most sexual assaults go unreported. Let's just be 100% clear about that. And, you know, maybe now you know why, if you've paid any attention to the news in the last couple of weeks. Of those that are reported, according to the Department of Justice, by the way, this isn't just according to me and what I think. This is the research that I've done. Between 2 and 8% of those reports will be deemed false accusations, for whatever reason. So that is a margin of error, I guess, that's pretty comparable to a lot of other crimes. But for some reason, and the reason is sexism, let's be clear, because the majority of people who do report these crimes are women. And, you know, God forbid you're a man who is sexually assaulted. I don't know what the numbers are there, but reporting that must be so difficult, because we live in such a culture of toxic masculinity. And I want to talk about what that means a little bit in a second. And we will also talk about rape culture and what that means. We're going to talk about white privilege and what that means, because some of my friends and family really need to fucking learn about this, and it's starting to piss me off a lot. And it should have pissed me off long ago. And so I am sorry. And I own up to my ignorance and my complacency about racism in my country. I was stupidly ignorant and didn't realize how horrifically bad it is. And I carry a lot of guilt and a lot of shame for not seeing that sooner. And part of the reason I didn't is because of my white privilege. And that is something that I am trying very hard to be conscious of and educate other people about. So, for men who try to report being sexually assaulted, because we live in this just disgustingly toxic culture, you know, where men are supposed to be, quote unquote, supposed to be the sexual aggressors, you know, well, men can't be raped, men can't be sexually assaulted. Yeah, of course they can. And it happens. And I think it happens a lot more than we know. Because they're very rarely taken seriously when they do report it. Now, my experience as a woman is, you know, that's where my knowledge is. Why do we not report these things? To sum it up, because nobody fucking cares. Because you won't be believed. Because if you do say something, then you're going to have to prove it. But let's say the rape isn't completed. How much physical evidence will there be? So what are you supposed to do? You know? Not fight back? Oh, but then if you don't fight back, then was it really a sexual assault? Oh, you were drinking? Well, you shouldn't have put yourself into that situation. Oh, you've had sex with him before? Yeah, well, maybe now you're just angry. Oh, or here's my personal favorite. You just want attention. Who wants that kind of attention? Nobody wants that kind of attention. So fuck everybody who has used those excuses. And if you have said things like that in the past, stop now. Don't ever say it again. If I were to tell you that you could open a savings account at a bank, and we have two types of savings accounts. One, you can earn a dividend rate, that's interest paid to you, of 2-8%. Or the other, you can have a dividend paid to you between 92-98%. Where would you put your money? It's the same idea with where you're putting your belief and where you're putting your faith. I will believe survivors every single time. And once in a great while, I will be wrong to have placed my... I'm not even going to say wrong. I will have been mistaken in placing my faith there. Hasn't happened yet in my lifetime. I don't really expect that it will going forward. One of the reasons that this last week or two has been so difficult is it's just been rape culture front and center. If you saw all of the testimony, if you saw the hearings, if you saw the news coverage, you know what I'm talking about, and you may just not want to admit it, but it's real and it's there. Over and over and over again, you heard people talk about corroborating witnesses. Well, that's kind of hard to have when the only people are involved are the victim and two people involved in the assault. What are you expecting to get? You're missing the point. The point was to listen and believe. And I'm sorry, but Republicans have shown us with no questions about any where they may possibly stand on the issue. They've shown us where they stand on the issue. And they have shown us that they don't believe us. They have shown us that their power and control is more important to them than the integrity of the Supreme Court. So here's where I am, and this is probably what makes me angrier than anything else. Even if you aren't sure what happened, and that's fair to say. It is fair for someone to say, you know what, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Okay, fine. You can say that. But you can't sit through hours of Brett Kavanaugh lying his ass off, interrupting pretty much every woman who questioned him, just really rude behavior that I wouldn't tolerate from my sixth grader. You know, if you sat through that and you still support him, go fuck yourself. For real. I'm done with you. I just am straight up done. Because if you think that the Devil's Triangle is a drinking game, then you're either very sheltered or you're just straight up in denial. Or you just don't give a shit. And that's really what it came down to. I really don't think that even Orrin Hatch, who I think is one of the dumbest people on the face of the earth, I don't think he was dumb enough to believe the lies that Kavanaugh told. You know what, let me back that up. I don't think he's dumb enough to believe the perjury that spewed out of Kavanaugh's mouth. I think he knows that Dr. Ford is telling the truth. He just doesn't give a shit. Because the only thing that matters to Orrin Hatch is Orrin Hatch. And the only thing that matters to Brett Kavanaugh is getting what he wants. A lot of people are like, oh no, his life is ruined. I hope it is. I hope that this just hangs over him for the rest of his life. And this is where I talk about that anger. I don't have it in me to forgive anybody right now. I really don't. I hope his life is ruined. And for those of you that know me, it takes a lot for me to say that about somebody. If he had come out and said, look, I drank a lot in high school and college. I did some super dumb shit. I was disrespectful to women, and I don't remember this happening, but it is in line with my behavior at the time, and I am horrified by that, and I am deeply sorry. That's not who I am as a person anymore, and going forward, I'm going to do my best to make sure that we are all more educated about consent and that things like that don't happen. Dr. Ford, I am so sorry. Being young and stupid was not an excuse. I didn't understand what I was doing. I do now, and I'm horrified. If he had said that, I would have been like, okay. You know, I still don't agree with pretty much anything else that he stands for, but at least he was, you know, decent enough as a human being to stand up and say, hey, I don't remember this, but you know what? There's a lot I don't remember because I drank a shit ton. And I'm sorry, I take responsibility for hurting you, even though I don't remember it, even though I didn't mean to. But that's not what he did. And the way that he got so angry lets me know that he does remember. Or at least he knows that he was certainly capable of it and that it probably happened. Now, I think it definitely happened, but I think Brett knows. Even if he doesn't remember it, I think he knows that he did it. Lying under oath, And this guy's going to be a fucking Supreme Court justice because the Republicans and some of the Democrats just can't let go of power long enough to do the right thing. Or can't use their power to do the right thing. So, yeah, it's been a hard week. Hard couple of weeks. It's been hard to hear people defend him. It's been hard to listen to former family members talk about how the responsibility is on women to not drink, to not wear revealing clothing. These things are rape culture, guys. Blaming the victim is part of rape culture. What does rape culture mean? Well, you live in it. So listen to the way people talk. Listen to the jokes they make. Look at what just happened in the Senate. This is rape culture. Victim blaming. Demanding proof when you damn well know that's going to be impossible. This isn't about innocent until proven guilty. That's a flawed system. Do we need a justice system? Justice system? God, I can't speak today. Yeah, we do need a justice system, but the problem is we don't have one. We have a legal system, and that's very, very different. So yeah, I hope Kavanaugh's life is ruined, because that's justice. And frankly, I do hope that people, won't let him eat out at a restaurant without yelling at him. I have no problem with that. And again, this is not my normal behavior. I don't like confrontation. I want everybody to get along. I want everybody to feel loved. But right now, I'm just not feeling very loving. Right now, I am full of anger. And I think that's okay. Part of the dialogue that I've seen come from this is a discussion about privilege. And we need to talk about white privilege because some of you don't get it. And I didn't get it either. I was really, like I said, ignorant and unaware, and I feel awful for that. I'm trying. So, what I hear over and over is, well, people talk about white privilege. Well, I don't have it easy. Oh my God. You know what? That's not what it is. White privilege doesn't negate, my experiences, say as a single mother. White privilege doesn't mean everything was handed to you. White privilege is the fact that you don't have to worry about getting shot if you get pulled over. You're not going to have the cops called on you for having a barbecue. You're not going to get shot in your own apartment by a police officer. In your own apartment. You won't be incarcerated at the same rate. If you can't acknowledge that, then fuck you. You're a piece of shit. And again, this is just such an angry episode, which is not like me. I mean, I will rant, but I'm usually not filled with this much anger. I'm just so goddamn mad. People I care about have to deal with some horrific shit on a daily basis. And that is not okay. It's not acceptable. We are all human beings. We are all worthy and deserving of love and understanding and respect. But I look around and I'm not seeing that extended to some of the people that I love. And that's not okay. I am scared for my friends who are Black. I am scared for my friends who are Native American and Asian and of Latin descent. I am scared for them, and I am scared for my friends who are Muslim. I'm not very scared for friends that I had in West Virginia who are white. I'm not scared for them. Because I don't need to be. Also, I probably don't want to talk to them because they voted for Trump. And that's another thing. Like, man, fuck you white women who voted for Trump. That's why he's there. We did this. We did this. So as angry as I am about Kavanaugh, it's women like me who did it. Because he never would have been there if it weren't for Trump. And the majority of white women voted for Trump. What kind of fucked up shit is that? We listen to a man brag about grabbing pussies, and we fucking voted for him. There's not a person out there who thinks Trump is a good guy. Not really. I refuse to believe that. We know he's a vile piece of shit. We know it. And we voted for him anyway. Now, I personally did not vote for him. But I've got to accept some responsibility that I belong to a privileged white culture that felt like, yeah, it's okay. This won't be so bad. Because we just didn't care. You guys, we got to do better. We have got to do better. We have got to step it up. I don't even know what else to say right now. I feel like I am like non-functioning at the moment. I just, again, I carry a lot of guilt and shame. I'm working through that. I should have done better. I look back on so many situations where I should have done better. So I guess my final thoughts for today would be this. Straight people, you need to listen. You need to listen to us as LGBTQ+ people. Shut up and listen when we tell you about our experiences. Just shut up and listen. White people, we need to shut up and listen. When our friends and loved ones tell us how they feel navigating this fucking minefield of racism, don't invalidate someone else's experience. I have no idea what it feels like to be Black in this country. Not a fucking clue. But I understand it more when I shut up and listen. Take responsibility. Speak up when you see something shitty happening. with privilege comes some power. Use it. Use it for something good, for God's sake. Men, shut up and listen. When we who identify as women talk to you about our experiences, when we tell you about all the little things we do every day to protect ourselves, white people do the same. We need to shut up and listen. Think, reflect, ponder. All of that. Take it to heart. Shut up and listen. When a transgender man or woman tells you what it's like to navigate, particularly here in Utah, after everything that happened this weekend at the Mormon General Conference, shut up and fucking listen. But I tell you who I'm not gonna listen to anymore, and I'm gonna tell you who I'm not gonna shut up for anymore. Fucking straight white men. Republican politicians. I'm angry now and I'm sorting through a lot, but I am sure as shit not gonna shut up when you talk, because you have been talking for the last 200 years. It's your turn to shut up and listen. Now it's my turn to shut up so that you can listen. I know this wasn't fun, and I'm so seething right now over so many things that my heart is twisted into a knot. I don't feel jovial at all. I just feel angry. And I'm scared that anger's gonna go away. Because right now we need this anger if we're gonna change anything at all. So try to put yourself in someone else's shoes today. Look at the world with someone else's eyes and feel the fear and pain with someone else's heart. We can do better. We have to do better. I believe that we will do better.